Hi, and welcome back to the show with me, Joe Wiley, and my three wise men, Jarvis Cocker, Keith Flint, and Bernard Sumner. All right, he fronted the Stone Roses and spawned a generation of imitators. He made Manchester a walking, talking legend, and he's back. He has a debut solo album, Unfinished Monkey Business. He is, of course, Ian Brown.
Down by the riverside, I waited there for you, take you back in time. Your suspension, they are caught, you cannot hide, it's all sight easy.
When you look at that face, you kind of feel like you're looking at rather a legend.
I think the record's good. I think the video's good.
Loads of people slag his voice off. But I always thought that was a good thing about the Stone Roses, because especially on that second album, if they'd had somebody who was singing like with a rock voice or something, it just would have sounded like a normal rock record. I always thought his voice was what kind of made it pretty interesting. I saw him playing at Sheffield Arena just about 2 months before they split up or something. I thought it was really brilliant, you know.
Keith, what about you?
Yeah, I like that. But I didn't... All that Happy Mondays and Stone Roses and all that... It didn't sort of come into the party scene as far as
well,
I was concerned.
Well, in Manchester.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Not in Essex.
No, no. Oh, yeah. No, I knew you was going to say that. I was totally prepared for you to come in there.
Go on, man.
But that was a slightly different side to it all.
With the Roses, the acrimonious split, and obviously, you know, the whole hassle with John Squire. Do you see any parallels with New Order, what they went through and what you went through?
Well, New Order, I think we toured a lot more than the Stone Roses, and we were together a lot longer, and just being on the road together for so long under such pressurising circumstances, like... you know, whether you were, you know, you might have the flu one night and you might be like, you know, you don't want to go on stage, but there's 20,000 people waiting out there for you to play, and you'd have to go on, and you didn't enjoy it, but you'd still have to pretend that you did enjoy it. That was the kind of thing that got to me, and it wouldn't if it had just been for a few years, but if it was for like 15 years, like it was with New Order, I just started going, well, I don't enjoy this, you know. I'd rather be sat at home watching a blind date with Cilla.
So, why are you doing it again?
I got a bit bored with blind date, really.
It's not as good these days, is it?
No, she's gone off.
Are you anticipating going through the whole marital strife again?
I mean, when you're on tour, you can press together like a can of sardines, and small things get on your nerves, you know. And they become, you take them out of proportion. And I think we needed a break. And
what kind of habits, what irritating habits are you talking
about?
What does Hookie do that drives you mad?
Hookie used to eat a packet of crisps when he was driving the car.
Right.
And then after he'd ate the packet of crisps, he'd go... and that used to get on my nerves.
Jarvis, can you see any parallels with Pulp and kind of living in this pressured environment?
It's funny because we're just getting ready to do that after quite a long time of not doing it. In about...
What, split up?
No, go and tour. You know, we're starting in about 9 days' time. We might end up splitting up at the end of it.
Okay, by now you probably know the story of Sean Lennon's life. Parental legend, sibling rivalry, CIA conspiracies, it's all in there. Luckily, none of this is apparent on his sun-drenched debut album on the Beastie Boys Grand Royale label. This is the single Home. Watching the shadows on. It's what the rich and famous do for their entertainment. Watch fish. Jarvis, Sean Lennon, is he real or just plain surreal?
Well, I mean, when I heard about the fact they'd done a record, I suppose, like everybody, you're a bit dubious. Having suffered Julian Lennon.
Suffered?
Well, you know what I mean? Salt water. Mm. He's in fresh water, goldfish. Mm. Obviously, that's the difference. The video's all right as well. Mm. Doesn't look like it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which I always like.
Yeah. Directed by Spike Jonze.
Yeah. And, you know, it's all right.
Yeah. Keith, he's kind of surrounded himself by all these really cool American types, like the Beastie Boys, Grand Royale. Mm. Do you think it's paid off?
No, not really.
Do you not like that?
No.
Apparently he plays the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds every morning when he gets up. Is that something that you did as a teenager in Braintree?
No.
I've never heard that album.
Haven't you?
No, it's a really...
seminal. Bernard, are you surprised about the way Sean Lennon has developed?
Well, actually, I really like the video more than the song, I must say. And then I went, fuck, it's Sean Lennon. And immediately that I thought that, my perception changed in like half a second.
Jarvis, Sean's been speaking out about his father, as has Julian at the moment. They've both kind of got the knives out, calling him a macho pig and various other types of things. Your current single gets to grips with your relationship with your father.
It attempts to, yeah.
Attempts to. Does it get anywhere near?
It's something that you've got to do, isn't it? Well, I think it was something that
I had
to do.
You'd be glad that you did, eventually, I should think.
Well, yeah, because it stops somebody from being an impression in your head of what that person might be like. Because I was always being told when I was growing up, you're just like your father, always in a negative way, you know what I mean? And so you might have this picture that you are going to be like him. And so at least if you go and see him, even if you don't get on that well, they become a real person rather than just some image that you've got tucked in the back of your head, you know.
Okay, thank you very much. We've got some music coming up in a couple of minutes. The Sweet Soul Grooves from Atlanta Zendaya Davenport. But first, we're going to check out Smashing Pumpkin Billy Corgan's Virgin Vinyl Experience as he shares with us the first record he bought.
I bought my first Beatles record at 5, Strawberry Fields Forever, at the flea market, 5 cents. Just, what, 2 pence?
Strawberry fields, nothing is real.
Strawberry Fields was released in February of 1967. I was born in March of 1967. And as a child, it was always my favorite song. when I found out when it was released, it almost made more sense to me, because I thought that was kind of the world that I was born into. So I always figured that maybe it had something to do with the way that I heard music, because maybe that's one of the first things I heard on the radio. I definitely like the line, "Nobody is in my tree." He's singing about it, and it's kind of half tongue-in-cheek singing how no one really understands what he's about. I like that line.
No one I think is in my tree. I mean, it must be high or low.
I'd say I go back to the song at least about once a year and really listen to it, because it's such an amazing song. I think it's a really special song to a lot of people because it's such a unique song. It's kind of a one-of-a-kind song.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields.
Billy Corgan and the first record that he bought. Jarvis, what first record did you kind of rustle through the racks for?
I was quite late because I used to tape stuff off the radio all the time, and so the first record I got round to buying was 5 Minutes by the Stranglers.
And do you still have that?
No, I lost it. But
you're not sentimental about your records?
Unfortunately, I always regretted that I kind of got into the wrong groups when punk was around. I mean, I was only quite young. Picked the kind of worst one. You know what I mean?
Like, of all the bands in all the world. Plastic. Keith, what was the first record that you blew your pocket money on?
I think it was Message to You, Rudy. I think that was the specials. That was the first I ever got.
Okay, and Bernard?
Well, when I was 17, I got a record player off my parents as a birthday present, and I thought, well, I've got this, so I should buy a record. So I bought Ride a White Swan by T-Rex. Remember taking it home, putting on my record player and playing it. Sounds good. Put it on again. Sounds good. Put it on again. Sounds good. Put it on again. I was like, it's a bit boring, this, keep getting up. I didn't understand the stacking system, because you used to have a stacking
you could
system.
Put more than one
but
on
they
you.
Always yeah. used to slip, though, on them, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah. They did, yeah.
Okay, thanks for sharing your recollections with me. Just time to thank my three mutineers, Jarvis Cocker, Keith Flint and Bernard Sumner. Thank you all very much. I'll be in the hot seat next Wednesday night with another hardcore lineup. Finlay Quay, Sinead O'Connor and Ozzy Osbourne. We'll also have Embrace Live and Exclusive. For now though, here's former brand new Heavies diva Endaya Davenport. Bring it on.